you, Pastor Jordan, our praise team, and Sophie. I appreciate that. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1, if you will, please. Last week, we looked at verses 3 through 8, which is one sentence, one long sentence. We're going to look at verses 9 through 12, which is, again, covers four verses, but is one sentence. It's going to take us 2 weeks to get through this passage. We see Paul's prayer here. Every one of us, every single one of us, has room to grow spiritually, has room to grow in our knowledge of God and His Word and His will, and we all have room to grow spiritually, right? All right, listen. We all have room to grow spiritually, right? Right. We haven't arrived. We're not perfect. We're not like Christ. We're working towards that goal, but we aren't there. But no matter where we are at spiritually, we can help someone else. And we can bless and encourage someone else. Even as we continue to grow and mature in our relationship with Christ. We see that in the life of the Apostle Paul. At every level of his spiritual growth, he was encouraging people. As we read his prison letters, which most of his letters were written while he was in prison, one thing stands out. As he prays, he prays for individuals, but especially he prays that they would grow spiritually, that they would be deepened, that they would gain knowledge and wisdom. And they all had material needs, but he knew the overriding, most important need in their lives was spiritual needs. And in this letter, as we've talked about, Paul is writing to a group that he had never met. He's writing to the church at Colossae and in Laodicea and Hierapolis, in those three areas. And he hadn't been there. Everything he knows about them, he has heard from Epaphras, who is their pastor now, the man that Paul led to Christ and went back to that region, and things he'd heard from other people's testimony, but he hadn't been there. But one thing he was very sure of, they needed to grow. They needed to grow spiritually, just as we do. They needed to grow in their relationship with Christ. Now look at verses 9 through 12 of Colossians chapter 1. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, let's see what Paul was praying for these believers. Number one, Paul prayed for spiritual wisdom. He prayed for spiritual wisdom. We see in verse 9 again. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Here, Paul is using words that they would have been familiar with. He's talking about knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul had heard that the false teachers were in and around the region of Colossae. He knew that they were making inroads into the church and that they were beginning to influence people. They would have been using the exact same words that Paul is using. They would have come in saying, we want to give you spiritual wisdom. We want to give you deep understanding. We want you to know the will of God. And Satan does that. Satan is a deceiver. And Satan uses a lot of the same words that God uses, but he applies a completely different meaning and twists and turns. And that's exactly what the false teachers were doing. Now, at the start of verse 9, he says, for this reason. He's connecting what he just talked about, especially in verse 6, when he talked about the grace of God in truth. All right, remember what I've just reminded you. Remember what you know. Let's get back to the grace of God in truth. Paul was convinced that these were true believers. They had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They'd received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, but they were not where they needed to be spiritually. They weren't strong enough to stand on their own and to stand against the false teaching, and so he needed to remind them of God's truths. He needed to cause them to grow deeper and to grow in relationship to Christ. Because he wanted them not just to know Christ. He wanted them to be strong in Christ. And when we come to Jesus Christ for salvation, we have all that we need for growth and maturity. I don't need anything else. When I come to Christ, He is all I need. The theme basically of Colossians is found in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 10 when it says, "And in Him you have been made complete." In Him, in Christ, you have been made complete. Not perfect, not finished. You've been made complete. That means you have everything you need for this Christian life. In Him you have been made complete. We don't need, as the false teachers claimed, we don't need something new. We don't need Christ plus. We need Jesus Christ, period. We just need to keep growing in what we have. We have everything we need, but we need to grow in what we have. We need to trust God's Word. We need to grow in it. We need to apply it to our lives. Now, as a child of God, every one of us needs to have a knowledge of God's will that Paul talks about here in this verse. There is always more for us to learn about God and His will for our lives. We always have room to grow. God wants us to know His will. He wants us to understand it. God is not some far-off presence who just issues orders and never explains why He's giving the orders. Turn your Bibles to John 15. Got to bear with me. I'm breaking in a new Bible. My other one was falling apart, and I needed an old man Bible with the big print. In John 15, look at verses 13 through 15. This is Jesus Christ talking. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." You know, I haven't called you a slave because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. You know what your master is doing because you are my friend. We are his friends. He lets us know what he's doing and why he is doing it. As we study God's Word, as we spend time in prayer, we discover those new and exciting truths about God's will for his people. There's a lot of people we say, "I wish I knew God's will for my life." Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. God shows us His will. God reveals His will. In verse 9 there it says that you may be filled. That's a word that Paul often uses in his writings, and it means to be completely filled, to be totally controlled. It carries the idea of being fully equipped. It's a Greek word that was also used to describe a ship that was filled for the voyage ahead. Right, Christy and I have had the privilege throughout the last 20 years or so to go on several cruises. You say, "How can you afford to go on a cruise?" I'll give you the tips if you want to come see me afterwards. Our last 7-day cruise, Christy and I went for $160 total. So I got insight. I can give you some clues. But we go on a lot of cruises. We've gone on probably, what, eight or nine, somewhere in there. And I love to go on a cruise. It's fantastic. But one of the first things you do, you get on the ship, and you have about 3 or 4 hours before it's going to leave port, and you can't get to your room. And so you go up on deck, along with ever 3,000 people are up there, and you're all staring over the side. And a lot of people are going over the side, and they're looking out if they can see the ocean that we're about to go into. That's where they're at. I'm always on the other side. I like to look down, and I like to see all the forklifts coming up on the ship. And there's pallet after pallet after pallet after pallet of food and supplies and everything. I stood there one time for like 2.5 hours, and I counted. I can't remember what the number was, but I mean, it was just unreal, the amount of stuff that goes into that ship. And they fill it as much as they possibly can to get ready for the voyage. And they put food like you would not believe. You can get food 24 hours a day on a cruise ship. Believe me. One time I tried at 3 in the morning. I got up, went out, and I found food at 3 in the morning. You know, there's all this supplies. That's what that word is talking about. In Christ, I am filled completely for this journey through the Christian life, this voyage through the Christian life. I have everything I need. I don't have to stop and restock. I have everything I need. You have to use what's at my disposal. I have to get to know Christ. I have to know the resources I have. I have to trust Him and and come to know Him and gain that knowledge. That's what Paul's praying for these Colossians. I want you to be totally controlled by the knowledge of God. Paul wants them to have a deep and thorough knowledge of God's will and spiritual wisdom and understanding. We see throughout the New Testament that when we are filled with something, we are controlled by it. If I'm filled with anger, it controls my life. It influences how I live. It influences how I relate to other people. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, "And do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Be controlled by. You know, be filled with the Holy Spirit so that He is influencing everything you do. Paul says, "I want you as believers to be controlled by the full knowledge of God. I want you to spend time in the Word of God so that you're gaining that information, you're gaining that knowledge, and it makes a difference in your life. It's so much a part of your life, it influences how you respond to others, how you respond to situations in life, how you respond to temptation, how you respond to sin. I enjoy this time of year because the Olympics are on right now. My wife and I, it doesn't matter if it's summer or winter, we like to watch the Olympics. All right, Elle's bedtime is at 8 o'clock, which is great because that's when the Olympics come on. And so we sit and we're watching the Olympics, and probably about a week ago, we were watching the figure skaters and what they were doing on the ice and all. And I listened to one of the commentators said. She said, "One thing about the Olympics, they're such a big stage that nerves play a huge role. But," she said, "once you get out on the ice," and she's a former Olympic skater, "once you get out on the ice, you have to remember the thousands and thousands and thousands of times you've done that routine. And then your muscle memory has to take over. Your muscles just begin to respond to the music at just the right time and do exactly what they've been trained to do." That's what it's supposed to be in this Christian life. I'm filling my mind, I'm filling my heart, I'm filling my life with God's will, God's word, God's truth. And then when the hard times come, when the difficulties come, and I'm a little confused and dazed and not sure what to do, that the memory takes over. That muscle memory of the Holy Spirit influencing and controlling my life and helping me through this situation. Now, Paul tells us how to do this through the closing words of verse 9. "We do this by means of spiritual wisdom and understanding." Listen closely to me. We understand the will of God through the Word of God. Period. We understand the will of God through the Word of God. The Bible tells us in John 14 and John 16, the Holy Spirit teaches us as we submit to Him. As we pray and sincerely seek God's truth, He gives us the Spirit. He gives, through the Spirit, the wisdom and insight that we need. Ephesians 1:17. But we have to desire it. We have to seek out and spend time in the Word of God. If Sunday morning is the only time you're getting the Word of God, you're not going to be in the will of God. Period. It won't happen. Warren Wiersbe writes this: "The general will of God for all His children is given clearly in the Bible. The specific will of God for any given situation must always agree with what He has already revealed in His Word. The better we know God's general will, the easier it will be to determine His specific guidance in daily life." Paul did not encourage the Colossians to seek visions or wait for voices. He prayed that they might get deeper into God's Word and thus have greater wisdom and insight concerning God's will. He wanted them to have all wisdom, not that they would know everything, but that they would have all the wisdom necessary for making decisions and living to please God. Spiritual intelligence, knowing God's Word, is the beginning of a successful, fruitful Christian life. Not one of you as parents has a longing in your heart for your children to be ignorant. Right? I don't say, "God, I hope my daughter's dumb as a doornail." You know, "God, raise her up to be a fool. Raise her up to be ignorant." That's not one of us have that desire. God doesn't have that desire for His children either. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be fumbling about not knowing anything. You don't have to be seminary trained to be devoted to the Word of God. You need to have a desire to grow and a willingness to spend time reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God and praying through it. We need to grow in the will of God by knowing the Word of God. You know, get that. We need to grow in the will of God by knowing the Word of God. So here he's praying for spiritual wisdom. Number two, Paul prayed that they would obey. He prayed that they would obey. Verse 10. So that, all right, get verse 9, he's saying. Get that, put it into practice. Grow in the knowledge of God, spend time with him, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So now you're going to put it into practice. To please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The false teachers were doing what the false teachers did. They came promising things. Come get this new spiritual understanding. Come gain this insight that nobody else has, and we'll take you deeper. You know, let me share with you this new truth. But they didn't relate this knowledge to life. In the Christian life, knowledge and obedience go together. Again, I want to quote from Warren Wiersbe. I told you I was going to do that quite often in this series. He writes this. There's no separation between learning and living. The wisdom about which Paul prayed was not simply a head knowledge of deep spiritual truths. True spiritual wisdom must affect the daily life. Wisdom and practical intelligence must go together. Then he writes this, in my pastoral ministry, I've met people who have become intoxicated with studying the deeper truths of the Bible. Usually they've been given a book or introduced to some teacher's tapes, and before long they get so smart they become dumb. The deeper truths they discover only detour them from practical Christian living. Instead of getting burning hearts of devotion to Christ, they get big heads and start creating problems in their homes and churches. If we are growing in knowledge, we should also be growing in grace. Now, there's a couple words that we often find linked together in the New Testament in relationship to the Christian life. It's the words walk and the words work. But it starts first with wisdom. And the sequence is important. First wisdom, then walk, then work. We can't work for God unless we are walking with him. And we can't walk with him if we're ignorant of his will. It starts with spending time in the Word of God. It starts with spending time gaining that wisdom. It starts with spending time in prayer. That's what the New Testament church did. As they were starting out, they devoted themselves to the Word of God and prayer, Acts 6:4. And it's as I get to know God's truth, I gain that wisdom and I know his will, then I'm able to walk with him and I'm able to work for him. There are far too many people who are walking around who have this sole desire of pleasing themselves. My desire as a child of God should be to please the Lord. Again, Wiersbe writes, we should walk worthy of our calling and worthy of the gospel, which means we will walk worthy of God. We should walk to please God. It's God that works in and through us to produce the fruit of his grace. As I walk and I grow in my relationship with God, then service is naturally going to flow from my life. As we abide in Christ, we produce fruit. All right, again, Wiersbe, last time I'll quote him this morning. He says this, God must be the worker before he can do the work. God spent 13 years preparing Joseph for his ministry in Egypt. He spent 80 years preparing Moses to lead Israel. Jesus spent 3 years teaching his disciples how to bear fruit. Even the learned Apostle Paul needed a postgraduate course in Arabia before he could serve God with effectiveness. A newborn babe can cry and make its presence known, but it cannot work. A new Christian can witness for Christ and even win others, but he must be taught to walk and learn God's wisdom before he's placed in an office of responsible ministry. I have to know God's truth. God's truth. God's wisdom reveals God's will. And as we obey God's will in our walk, then we can work for him and bear fruit. That's what he's talking about here in verse 10. When this is happening in our lives, we're not just going to serve God occasionally, but he says here in verse 10, we will be bearing fruit in every good work. And because of that, we're going to increase in our knowledge of God. And as we walk with God, as we work for God, we get to know him better and better. Our Christian lives need balance. We get to know God better as we pray in our private rooms, as we meditate on his word. We also get to know him in our daily lives, as we see him answer prayer throughout the days, and as we see him work in situations, and we get to know God through those times as well. It's not just isolating myself all the time and that's all I need. No, there's balance involved here. When Jesus was on this earth, yes, he went away to pray, but then he also went out to serve. and he interacted with people. We have to be careful not to go to extremes. The more time we spend with God, the more we get to know him, the more we're going to start obeying him, the more we're going to live out what he calls us to do, and then we learn more. You know, practical obedience means pleasing God and serving him and getting to know him better. It's putting our faith in practice. The evangelist D.L. Moody often said, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. Should be lived out. As we gain that truth, we got to walk in this world and take it with us. Paul prayed that these Colossians and us might have spiritual intelligence and that that intelligence would lead to practical obedience. You know, take the truth and put it into practice in our lives. We'll pick up there next week, but I want you to think about that. This is not new truth. You know this. Everything I shared this morning, you know. But do we do it? Every one of us knows we need to grow in the knowledge of God. Every one of us knows we need to spend more time in his word. Every one of us knows we need to spend more time in prayer. And our lives are so stinking busy. And we're going a million different directions. We are pulled at so many different... Do we make God and our relationship with him a priority? You know, we'll prioritize Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Well, for you guys, it's about 9:06, actually. You know, we'll make that a priority. We'll prioritize this for work or this for this meeting we have. Do we prioritize our time with God? We need to grow in our knowledge of God. We need to grow in his word. We need to grow so that we can walk in his will and we can live out by faith what he's called us to do. We live in a world that is dark. We live in a world where high schools are being shot up and kids are being killed. We live in a world where babies are dying from starvation around the globe. We live in a world of human trafficking. We live in a world, and on we could go. This world needs light. You know what God's word tells me? He is light. It means when I come to him, I'm a child of light. And I'm taking light with me. But how brightly am I burning in this dark world that needs light? We're not going to burn unless we're in the word of God. We're growing in that knowledge. We're putting it into practice in our lives and we're living it out by faith. Father, a lot of us know what to do. But doing it's the hard part. The Colossians were growing. They were new believers. And they needed to be reminded again and again and again to grow. Lord, many of us have been saved for decades. But we need that fresh reminder as well. Don't get stagnant. Don't get complacent. But grow. Make spending time with you a priority. Lord, give us a heart that burns to know you, to know your world, to know your word, to know your truth, and to live that out when you reveal it to us. This world needs to see believers who are different. This world needs to see light. May we be that light in a dark, dark world. We ask these things in Jesus' name.